Kira, are you ready?
No.
I'm maybe ready.
Okay, I think I'm ready now. Okay,
cool. Yeah, we're good. We're ready for the podcast.
Yeah. We haven't seen each other in like a couple weeks, and it feels like a month.
Yep.
So, as per usual, this podcast will be interesting.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been nearly as long for that. Well, no, I guess it has been the same amount of time. Never mind.
Time has no meaning to me anymore.
Same.
What day is it? What month
don't know.
Is it? Who knows?
Who knows?
What I do know.
Time is a construct anyway. Yeah,
whatever. You know what's not a construct? Supernatural parody videos. I mean, actually, technically they are a construct. They're entirely constructed.
By definition, they're a construct.
I'm fired.
Yeah, so fired.
Okay.
Anyways, yes. So, we're going to lead in this episode about the women of Supernatural. But we're not going to quite talk about the women of Supernatural yet. We're going to talk about a couple of women of the SBN fandom.
Mm-hmm.
See how I did that?
I know.
That was pretty
good. Job.
Yeah,
good job.
Thank you.
Real
thank
smooth,
you. Thank
real
you.
Smooth.
Hillywood put out Supernatural Parody number 2. I would be really surprised if anyone listening to this podcast still hasn't seen it yet. If you haven't, please go watch it. If I haven't yet on social, I'll link it out. Probably easily find it anyways. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was awesome.
I really enjoyed it too. My initial reaction was I was like, the song isn't as catchy as the other one.
Yes.
And I was kind of like, And then Adam popped up and I was like,
oh yeah,
this is the best
this
thing
the
I've
best
ever
thing.
Seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
So yeah, it went from like, yeah, this is fun,
okay,
to like,
yeah,
this is so good.
Yes, the second
so
that
fast.
The second that all of the cameos started coming up, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's something that I noticed in it that I don't think Sally noticed, and I don't know if anyone else noticed, but it made me really happy and excited because it kind of, like, it doesn't directly relate to this podcast, obviously, but it relates in general, and it just kind of, I don't know. Other than, like, the plays that we've been getting and the response from SBN fandom and everything on Tumblr, etc., kind of validates what we're doing a little bit. So, to make a long anecdote somewhat short, you know how on the show they refer to, like, angels communicating with each other as angel radio, right?
Yes.
And in the parody, there's a part where it's Metatron, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's on Angel Radio, yeah. And they have, like, the mic, and it says Angel Radio on it.
Mm-hmm.
That graphic is the actual graphic from the fan-started, fan-run
mm-hmm.
Angel Radio SBN podcast.
Oh, no way.
I recognized it right away. I was
That's
like,
awesome.
Holy shit. Like, thank you. Hilly and Hindi for, like,
mm-hmm.
recognizing, like, that's so awesome. Like, that kind of attention to detail is, like,
yes.
I got really excited when I saw it. I couldn't
that's
help it.
Exciting.
I was like, oh, my God. Yeah.
I have not listened to Angel Radio or looked at them, so I...
Well, I only recognize it because, like, I followed them on SoundCloud when we first started out and everything. And, like, me and Sally have this thing, this very mutual thing. Well, too, I'm... Up until recently, I've been more into listening to podcasts than you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that, I still very much agreed with something that I don't think we ever talked about on the podcast at all. But you're the one that prefaced this, and I totally agreed with it, which is, especially initially, we didn't want to listen to any other Supernatural podcasts because we didn't want them to influence us.
Yeah.
We wanted to make sure that we were offering something that's unique to us and not just copying pasting what someone else did.
Yeah. I also personally I get really intimidated by other people doing similar things.
Right.
So I feel like I would have even like if I had heard something that I wanted to talk about, I would have been
like, I can't talk about that.
Yeah, so
yeah. Which is super irrational, but I understand and appreciate.
Yeah. Well, it's partly it's like the like plagiarism culture of like you know what I mean though. Like not like it would have been bad, but it's this culture of if you have something similar to someone else, you need to like, what's the word? Like cite them. And like citations are very important.
Oh, yeah.
But
like, I feel like plagiarism culture right now at this point is, I know no one signed up for this on this episode, but anyway, you're going to get it anyway.
Kira's lecture on creative property.
Yes. I feel like the current culture on on plagiarism has been like, it's like no one can have original IP anymore.
Yeah.
No one can have original thought. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as, what's it called? Like tangential thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Where like, you know, two people can have a very similar idea and say it similarly within a short amount of mm-hmm. time, right? Of course, there's like, you like, I'm sorry, but like, in my opinion, and like, we've both been to university where it's like plagiarism is a very big deal for mm-hmm. very good reasons. And it's like, you can tell.
Yep.
Right away yep. when someone's stolen something. And it is a one-to-one thing.
Yeah.
It is. Like, there's no gray area, in my opinion.
No.
And fighting about those gray areas is really dumb.
Yep.
I think. But anyways, that was not our point.
And Kira steps off the soapbox.
And trips off of it.
Sorry, I'm feeling extra sassy today for some reason.
That's okay. Oh my god. Sorry, I just thought of something awesome. This episode of It's Funnier in Enochian Podcast, it will be brought to you by salt.
Because oh man, it works on so many exactly. levels.
Because not only is salt an important staple in any hunter's, you know, mm-hmm. kit. It's also how we're feeling right now.
I know.
Which I'm is
like,
salty.
Am I salty enough to, like, ward off a demon? Who knows?
Who knows?
I don't really want to try and find out, but...
Well, you would have to be, like, sulfur, but...
No. The sulfur is what the...
Oh, that they, like, yeah. they give off. But, like, does salt really work on demon ward?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just ghosts.
I don't.
They can't keep their mythology straight either,
yeah,
so I'm not going to explain.
Okay, cool. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
That pause was so long.
Yeah. We're going to cut that just a little bit.
A little bit.
Anyway.
Nothing like dead air.
Yep.
Yeah. So, women. Shall we?
Yes. Yeah. Binder's full of women. It's an old one that you will only understand if. Anyway,
okay.
Very topical as of, like, 8 years ago.
Not really, given the current run of things. But anyways, besides the point. So we're going to talk about the women of Supernatural.
Yes.
I've been really excited to do this episode. I feel like I've been waiting to do this from day one. Mm-hmm. And really, day one was, yeah. in part, at least, a Women of Supernatural episode. We started off this podcast with Wayward Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, fitting to revisit that.
Yeah. And I feel like it's something that we've talked about, like, a little bit
yeah.
in other episodes.
Episodes, other topics. Like, yeah. even last week's, even last episode with toxic masculinity, like, it runs into it. Like, talking about, you know, intersectionality and, like, feminism and just how, like... Nothing exists in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. It's all, you know, into it. But yeah, we've never really done like an in-depth, like we were both trying to remember. We know that we talked about our favorite female characters at some point,
yeah.
but like I could not tell you
yeah.
what episode it was.
No idea.
No.
So I was going to bring up this thing last episode, but then we ran out of time, and it works because it's way more applicable to this episode anyway. But at some point, Misha Collins was asked about, I don't even remember, like, I'm going to find the quote and put it on Tumblr, and
right.
I'm going to do it for real, because I'm bad about putting things on Tumblr.
You are.
I am. but I'm going to find the quote for reals.
Okay.
But someone asked him something about the show, and he said something to the effect of, like, oh yeah, it's great, but it can be kind of misogynistic sometimes.
Yeah.
I wish that they
would. Sorry about the sirens, guys. Sorry, I knew everything that you would say I would get. Okay, we're okay now. Yeah, so I think it was in response to a question about women on Supernatural.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of the mm-hmm. specifics, but yeah.
Yeah. So he was like, kind of misogynistic sometimes. I wish that they would stop calling everyone bitch and that they would stop killing off all the female characters.
Yeah.
And my immediate response to that is like, whoa, Misha. Like, I love Misha, but
yeah,
I think
yeah.
that he really, and this is a good quality, his progressive thinking, mm-hmm. his wanting to be a positive influence in the world. But in this case, I'm like, I don't think that that quote is an accurate representation of the actual culture for women and female characters on the show.
Yes, I would agree with you. But at the same time, I think that his perspective, like where he's talking from, is obviously very different than like a fan. Yes. Right? And I would argue that this is kind of saying our conclusion, or what I would presume our conclusion to be, before we've gotten to any of the points, but at the end of the day, it is a show with either it's two male leads or female leads, however, you know, whatever version of Team Free Will you're talking about, those are the leads of the show, and there are no female leads. There mm-hmm. aren't.
Yeah.
There aren't.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's just the way that it is. And so it's going to forever feel imbalanced because of that, because you do not have consistent recurring characters. Like, one of the things that I read on Tumblr was someone talking about how they just want a recurring female character that stays alive and is in as many episodes as Misha. Right? And it's just like, well, there was going to be, if Anna worked out.
Yeah.
You know, so like, it's not like the show is setting out to do this.
Yeah.
It's like, it's happenstance more than anything.
Yeah. I think another interesting thing about this, about Misha's comment, is like, yeah, I agree that it's not coming from like a fan perspective necessarily, but I do think that that is a perception of the show, not even in a negative way. I just think that that is a perception of the show, yeah, that even fans have, that, yes, even fans have. And I think it's interesting, and I think that we have come to a similar conclusion that we will show through,
yes,
the next portion of the podcast. But yeah, like, the when you look at like the facts, and when you look at what's going on, and you analyze stuff, that's not the case. But there is still this perception. So I think it's interesting, actually, like, why we have the perception. And I think that it's because, yeah, it's a show about dudes, and it's a show about toxic masculinity.
Dun, 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 dun.
So, like, that kind of colors people. So it's like, when a male character does something, or, like, when a male character dies,
it's like, okay,
it's not, it's the confirmation bias, like, it's not feeding into that.
Thank you.
Whereas that's when a female character dies, it's immediately like, oop, add this to the body pile.
Yep.
Whereas there's no running tally for like male characters.
Well, speaking of running tally, that segues perfectly into this post from on Tumblr. It's from Trek Kit Kat. Yes. I'm like trying to read it. And it's a photo of a written out list of all of the male and female characters side by side. How many more male characters are there than female characters?
Is this a list with Sam and Dean, or is this just like other
Sam, Dean and Cass are at the top.
Okay.
So it's not including them.
Cool.
So yeah, not including them, it's one off.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, like, speaking of confirmation bias, mm-hmm, and slash we're not, like, running the numbers, yeah, I feel like that's a perfect example of, like, we have this perception because it's also been so brought to the forefront in terms of, like, you know, things about the show that we should fix.
Yeah.
And everything. And that this is the, like, this is the thing that we need to look at. Look at this. Look for this. Look for, mm-hmm, this. Look for this. That, like, it becomes very easy. Like, okay, I know, maybe, you know, jumping the cart here a little bit, but Sally was making a list, or made the list of all of the, you know, recurring and, you know, one-off characters.
It's like an incomplete, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was just looking
incomplete list
through all of the female characters, yeah, in preparation for this episode.
Exactly. And started crossing off, like, oh, I'm going to cross off which ones are dead. And then when I looked over, I saw Linda Tran not crossed off, and I was like, Linda's still alive? Like, I literally forgot. Mm-hmm. And it made me think of another thing that I saw on Tumblr, which was that someone making this comment of, like, oh, yeah, every now and again, I think of how Garth is, like, off there living it up with werewolves, and then I remember Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, well, I even forgot that Garth was alive.
Yeah.
So it's like, because the assumption is it's supernatural, everyone's fucking dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if I don't see them on screen for a significant amount of time, they don't exist anymore.
Yeah. Well, and it's such a fraught issue, too, this whole, like what it means when a character dies, because I love it when characters die. It's, like, one of my favorite things. And I get that it's, like, a weird thing for some people. Like, people get very invested in characters. But the Garth comparison, it's, like, if you look at how many episodes Garth is in versus how many episodes Charlie was in way more.
Right.
So yeah, it's, yeah, like, yeah. That's another thing is, like, A, I really don't think that you can include Misha in this, or, like, Cass in this conversation anymore. Like,
in terms of what?
In terms of, like, you can't be like, well, Cass is still alive. A, because he's died multiple times.
Right.
But B, just because, like, he's a Winchester now.
Well, exactly.
And it's like he the show has three leads. Cass is one of them, yeah. And so it's like the same rules do not apply, and I think people take that as like, oh, like, look, they're like, there's an exception to the rule for like this male character, but like there's no exception to this rule for a female character.
I know it's a sore point, but like fucking Jodie and Donna.
Oh, I know.
I would argue that they're an exception to the rule. Yeah. Like, I know part of that was because we were hoping we were going to get a fucking spinoff.
I know.
Which but is a, like, whole other story, but, you know.
But it's like, they're not going to kill
exactly
Jodie and Donna off. But, like, you know what? They might.
They might, but like,
I feel like
don't think they will. I would be surprised. Like, and even if they did, my automatic response wouldn't be like, oh, fuck, another female character's dead. Like, I wouldn't.
My response would be like, well, they killed Bobby off, because it's like,
yeah,
they killed everyone off.
Yeah.
I think another point that, like, and every character death is different, but character deaths serve different purposes at different points in the story. It's like in Harry Potter. No one's gonna get mad at me if I spoil Harry Potter, right?
I feel like, come on, like, even if you haven't read the books, you've seen the fucking movies, and if you haven't seen the fucking movies, then, like, you're never going to, so go away.
Yeah. So, okay, so, like, it's like Dumbledore has to die.
Yes.
For Harry to, like, become a man.
Yes.
Like, it's like, this is the hero's journey.
Yeah.
And
Same thing with Sirius.
Yeah. And it's like, people get really, really hard on, like, killing off the mom or, like, killing off, like, parents. Mm-hmm. But that's, like, the fairy tale thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And, Joe. Yes. I almost said Jodie for a second. I was just like,
oh. I felt it. And I was like, no, you're looking for Joe.
Yeah. Joe and Ellen.
Exactly.
The point in the story where they died is like, it's when everything is going to shit.
Yeah. And it's like poignant. And yeah. Like, it's a, like, so stupid to say, but like a quote unquote good death. Like,
yeah.
It's
an amazing scene that
exactly.
Like makes you cry every time.
Yes.
But also just in terms of story structure, it's like, it's the final act. Where,
yeah, yeah,
or the,
yeah. The climax.
It's, or like pre-climax.
Yeah,
it's the pre-climax where everything is terrible. And at that point, like, Kripke thought that he was only getting 5 seasons.
Right.
And it's, you have to separate the heroes from all of their friends.
Yeah.
So that they can get through. And
exactly.
And so it's like,
which also happens in Harry Potter, even at the final battle.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah.
So it's like, that serves a different purpose.
And I think that's the thing, too, is that when it comes to, quote unquote, killing off female characters and people having, again, we're speaking very generally, because I don't think that the majority of, like, active supernatural fans actually agree that, like, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does, like, most of this stuff get blown out of proportion.
I've seen a lot of meta, though, that, like, kind of, like,
But that's the thing is, like, I'm doing a supernatural podcast with you. Mm-hmm. I would arguably be considered, like, a very, like, fandom-involved fan. Mm-hmm. I don't read meta. I don't write meta.
Yeah.
So there's degrees, right? And like, you're going to look at just, I found, I, cause like I browse like very, I'm going to say browse in a very liberal sense. Browsed the Women of Supernatural tag on Tumblr, and I literally found like a post from the Tumblr, I wasn't gonna say it, but it's kind of obvious, called Women of Supernatural, and it was celebrating the fact that they have 700 followers, which is like really cool. But then it's like one of the admins that's writing that post is just like, oh yeah, like I don't watch the show anymore because X, Y, and Z, but like I'm glad that this is still like, I still have a positive thing to look back on. So it's just like, so then the people informing the discourse on all of this aren't even necessarily active fans. Like, I know that's like a definitely an outlier situation, most likely, but like it points towards the fact that like there's not necessarily a correlation actually going on. And even like it being, like the killing off of female characters being a perceived thing as an issue, even that is suspect.
Yeah.
Like the perception itself and how many people hold on to it, I feel like is suspect. I don't know.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So.
That was so well timed.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you.
I wonder if we'll be able to hear any of that.
Oh, yeah. No. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, amazing. It's right there. Sally always thinks that, you can't hear anything. Like,
it's because I can't hear very well, and I just ignore stuff that I'm not paying attention to.
If you couldn't tell, me, Kira, I'm the only one that wears headphones when we record. Yes, all you audio freaks, get mad at Sally.
But we only need one person to wear headphones.
We don't.
I will.
Anyway. It's fine. It's fine. It's just one of my pet peeves. It's fine. Moving on.
We're real professional.
Oh, so professional. As I talk too close to the mic. So, since we talked a fair amount about killing off female characters, then why don't we talk about some female characters that got brought back?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I know one name that comes to mind right away. You're like, which one is it?
I know. I like, there's so many.
Mary.
Yeah.
And I feel like talking about Mary is important.
I love Mary. I love Mary so much.
I do too. I really love Mary. And I wasn't aware of the level of Mary hate that there is until you brought it up to me.
Yep.
And showed me some of it, and now I've seen some of it. And again, like, to reiterate something that I just, like, I don't want to be a hypocrite and just assume that that's such a wide perception, but, you know, perceiving the show as leaning towards one side of, like, killing off more female characters, like, that's, like, that can be validated, right? Like, that's something that is, like, pure perception-based, whereas whether or not you like a character is opinion-based.
Yeah.
And so, like, it kind of doesn't matter if it's five people only that hate Mary and then everyone else is just talking about the fact that those five people hate Mary. Still, the fact that those five people hate Mary is, I think, worth
talking. And I've seen a lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, a lot.
And
a lot
varying degrees.
Yeah.
For example, I'm not going to quote it because I don't want to, like, we're not here. We're salty today, but we're not here to throw shade. Because everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Yeah.
But I saw a post talking about how Mary Winchester, and I'm sure it's not the only one, how Mary Winchester plays the quote-unquote mom card. And that instantly was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And basically what the post was alluding to was the fact that she hasn't been there. She is choosing to not be there. She's choosing to not get to know them. But yet, whenever she is around, she acts like their mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like, okay. Like, I don't even, I know I brought this up in the discussion, but I don't even know how to really respond to that.
Well, I think that my,
oh, actually, I do. But okay. It's okay. No, no, no. Okay. You go ahead. Sorry. I just remembered what I wanted to say in that moment. But you go ahead.
I just, like, hit the mic with my face.
Damn it, my eyes were closed. I didn't see it. Another reason why we need to start start recording these. I'm old, guys. I'm old.
That's cool. That's cool. But no, my immediate response is a thing that I've seen a lot. And it's like, this is a fine... we're having a conversation coming at it from very different levels. Because it's like, you're allowed to not like characters. Yes. But I have zero interest in talking about the characters as if they're real people.
Thank you.
And that is what that thing is doing, is like, Mary Winchester is a bad person because she made X decision. And it's like, Mary's not real. She's a character. It's way more interesting to talk about, like,
people that are flawed.
People that are flawed.
Because also, too, that's realistic. Yeah,
but also, it's like, but, like, why is she written that way? You know, that is or like, what literary themes is she, like, exemplifying? But exactly. Being, like,
or disrupting.
I don't like the fact that she was mean one time is, like, not, it's a perfectly acceptable opinion to have, but it's just, like, you and I, are coming at it from a very different perspective from that person who's, like, she's playing the mom card.
Well, and then what I was going to start saying, like, and I have forgotten, was that in the post they bring up the fact that, like, at least the way that Dean talked about her and the way that she was represented in, like, flashbacks or dreams or whatever, was this, like, 1950s Stepford house mom, where she baked and she did this and she did that. And then it gets revealed that, like, she picked up everything at the Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah.
Right? You know, she's much more of a modern mom than Dean's perception.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, and something that I feel like the person missed in their own analysis, quote unquote, if you want to call it analysis, is that by referring to it as the mom card, doing the exact same thing that Dean did by idealizing this idea of a mom.
Mm-hmm.
There are shitty moms out there. I'm sorry, like, feminism, but there are. There are.
And I don't think that's, like a feminist issue at this point. It's like, everyone can be a shitty human being.
But that's the thing, but there's people that are like, no, there's no way. Because moms and nurturing and...
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, like, I think, like, that's it 100%. And I think that's the thing that I loved so much about the reintroduction of Mary is it was
problematic from day one.
Yeah. Or, like, not even problematic, but, like, problematizing, like, the show's initial depiction of her.
Yeah.
And saying, like, yeah, we created this idealized picture, and now let's break it down.
Yeah, exactly.
And
what does that then in turn do to Dean?
Yeah.
And how does that differently affect Sam? Because Sam doesn't have any kind of perception.
Yeah.
He's just like, she's here, yay, like, I don't care, you know, kind of thing.
An argument I would be more interested in, or not interested in reading, but, like, something
invested
in reading, is if they were saying it's unrealistic that Mary would have behaved in this way. Because most of my issues with various female characters is, like, you know, sometimes female characters are written and you're just like, no one in their right mind would behave that way. Or this character is being written so that we dislike them. Bella, you know?
But I love Bella.
I know, it's like, I love Bella too.
Okay.
But you know what
I get what you're saying.
But it's like, people hated her and she was written in a way that made people hate her.
Okay.
And I mean, to a certain extent, I feel like they did that a little bit with Mary. But
oh,
it's like, you know, what you have to think about when you're watching characters is like, is this a thing that this character would do?
Yeah.
Why is this character making this decision?
Yeah.
If you can't think of a good reason, then it's bad writing.
Yes. Bad characterization.
Bad characterization.
Yeah.
But if you know why the character did that, then...
Like, and I think that that was my biggest shock when you were saying that there's so many Mary haters, because it's like, well, like, I understand from the perspective of, like, maybe disliking her as a character because it's like, she does things that are dislikable, but not insofar as because her character doesn't make sense, because her character perfectly makes sense. When you look at what Mary's life was, what it became, all of that, what mm-hmm. she gets pushed into all yeah. of a sudden.
It's like, how would you feel if you got brought back from the dead and exactly. your sons were, like, 35-year-old men?
Yeah.
Like,
and, like, for, and see, this is the thing, too. I can't remember specifically what was mentioned in the post that made me think of this. I think they were saying something about how, you know, oh, she does X, Y, or Z, like, oh, she picks up hunting right away
oh, yeah.
after, like, so many years of not doing it. It's like, dude, she didn't experience all of that time
yeah.
that she was dead. She was dead and then alive.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, let's be real here. Mm-hmm. You know, to her, no time has passed.
Yeah.
And yeah, that may not be canon, but it's my meta. It's my first ever meta, okay? Leave me alone.
I mean, I think it's pretty canon because she was yeah. like, you guys, you can't be Dean. You're supposed to be a baby.
She did say that?
Yeah, or like not a baby. She was
but,
like.
But yeah, like yeah. she was supposed to be, yeah, like, you can't be my
like,
son.
You can't, like, right, how, right. he's two. Like, how can you possibly be
right.
my son?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there you go. There you go. It is canon. Hello.
And then, of course, she's depressed because everything she sacrificed in her entire life, like.
Didn't mean anything.
Didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And
except, John's dead, and.
Yeah, so.
Sorry, except.
Except for the apocalypse world, where they found right. out that that was the world where yes. she didn't make
and
the deal.
See, that was so perfect. That was so validating. Like, that to me was such the perfect follow through
mm-hmm.
for the previous season where she was, you know, depicted
yeah, yeah.
as a dislikable character and doing mm-hmm. all these things and, like, really, like, dismantled and disrupted. And problematized, as you said. And it was just such a perfect follow-through. Like, to me, that was good writing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was very yeah. good writing. I don't know.
I agree.
People can disagree, I guess. Yeah. I don't, like, because I just don't know. I think I just, to kind of circle back to what you said in terms of, like, a criticism or a thing that would interest you about Mary would be, you know, something more along the lines of her being unrealistic. Like, I feel like I don't identify with the Mary hating criticisms.
Yeah.
Like, that's what mm-hmm. it comes down to is it's yeah. just like for me, and also too, I think I just don't identify with the character bashing in general.
Yeah.
And I think it yeah. does circle back to what you were saying about, treating characters like real people. Mm-hmm. And I never do.
Yeah.
And so when I don't like the characterization of a character, mm-hmm. I just write them off in my head and I'm yeah. like, okay, whatever, that's like, it is what it is, and that's just, it's just there, it's a placeholder, it's whatever,
yeah,
you know, and I move on.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a good, like, co-example is, like, there are lots of people who hate Lucifer, I mean, which is, like, fine, but it's like there are people who hate Lucifer where when they're talking about it, they're like, how can you like him? He tortured Sam.
He's fucking yes, Lucifer.
But there are also people who are arguing, who are like...
That idolize him.
Well, no. People who don't like Lucifer, who are like, it's an old plot. I'm tired of having this rehashed on the show.
Right.
His characterization hasn't changed. He's just the same character. And I'm like, that I will listen to.
But also,
any
to,
day
yeah,
of the
exactly.
week.
That I'll listen to. I'll just as easily dismantle it because, dude, you're dealing with, like, biblical archetypes.
Mm-hmm.
If they haven't changed for eons, why would they change now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if anyone wants to start saying about, like, oh, well, Castiel changed. No. It's canon that he's always been a fucking problem.
Yes.
For heaven. So it's like, no, everyone mm-hmm. is playing their part on the chessboard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I could understand that argument for, like, another show that's not dealing with such, like, well-known, established
yeah.
archetypes. But, like,
yeah. But it,
I don't know.
Even,
I know
like,
you didn't mean it that
yeah,
way. But,
just, like, but that type of criticism.
But that's the thing, though, is, like, that I can sink my teeth into and
mm-hmm.
I'm not as mad about the
yeah.
assertion
mm-hmm.
as, you know, oh, you can't like Lucifer because, like, he hurt Sam. And
yeah.
it's like, no, that's, like, that's not how this works.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, again, you
yeah.
can dislike whatever character
yes, exactly.
you want. Like,
yeah.
There,
yeah.
we're not judging you for not
no,
liking characters.
No.
It's just like I'm
judging the reasons. I am. I'm
yeah.
gonna be honest.
Well,
I'm gonna be a hypocrite.
I'm just like you can't engage with
yes.
those types
of
responses
yeah.
in a critical way. And like
yeah.
that's the type of conversation that we're having, and it's fine if people want to have different conversations.
I guess so. This is your week for being far more forgiving, and I think the saltiness is rubbing.
I'm feeling so like magnanimous, so generous.
So yeah, like, and I feel like there's just so much we could say about Mary.
Yeah,
like it's endless. Mm-hmm. Did you have anything off the top of your brain about Mary?
That was pretty much it.
That's it.
Like,
I have one more thing, and it's, again, sorry, this is the episode where I just refer to Tumblr a lot because I actually prepared for this episode. It's a new thing. it was a gift set of her talking about, you know, both hunting and, you know, like after being resurrected, both hunting and being with the boys, right? Mm-hmm. And someone saying, you know, to her, like, oh, so you want to have it all. And I was just like, that's so perfect and poignant because that's the whole second wave feminist debate, mm-hmm. right? Of like, oh, like, we can have it all. And then it's like, then women do everything. And yeah. it's like, no, this isn't balance. This isn't equity mm-hmm. at all. It's not even equality. So, like, I feel like there's so many instances where Mary occupies such a good space mm-hmm. that isn't normally occupied yeah. in terms of problematizing especially that mom character, that yeah. mom figure. And I feel like that's the perfect segue mm-hmm. into the next phase of our discussion, which is talking about this perception of female characters in general, not mm-hmm. just on Supernatural, but being either the mom, the virgin, or the whore.
Yeah.
And I think that I was trying to look up where that triad originated, like yeah. in terms of literary criticism or even media criticism. But the only thing that I could find that I know didn't directly correlate was the Madonna horror problem. Is that what?
No.
Okay. So like that's the only thing that I could find initially, and it didn't quite match. But anyways, go ahead.
You know, this is making me think of
what?
The maiden, the mother, and the crone.
There we go.
The triple moon goddess.
Yes, triple moon goddess.
Because we were Wiccan.
Oh yes.
And maybe still are a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I haven't thought of triple goddess right? in like forever.
It doesn't quite work because the crone doesn't really...
Yeah, it does. Kind of.
Well, like the mother, the virgin, maiden. The whore. The whore and
right.
the... But you know what? Sex and death are like...
Yeah, there you go.
Also,
my... Death mother.
Yeah. I was about to do a hand gesture for sex and death and it was going to be this. And
I'm just like... I hate you.
I was doing a scissoring motion with my hands in case... I mean, I was going to say in case anyone didn't see that, but no one...
I knew you were going to say in case anyone didn't see that.
Okay.
Anyway.
I have lots of feelings about this virgin whore mother
the
thing.
Triad.
The triad. The triad. I like yes. that.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like Supernatural has a lot of characters that can fall into any of those categories. But I also feel like something really interesting happens on Supernatural because of the show's history
mm-hmm.
In that, like with Bella, they had a lot of really bad fan reactions from mm-hmm. introducing love interests and sexy female characters.
Yes.
Notably Bella and Joe.
Yeah.
Got a ton of hate.
Yeah.
From fans. And what that means is they stopped introducing those sexy female love interest characters
yeah.
and open the doors for having tons of other varied female characters.
Yes.
So you have like Jody and Donna mm-hmm. don't fit into that category.
Yes.
I mean, the virgin one is tricky because it's like, you know.
Well, we have that explicit example from that one episode.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But I'm thinking of like, you know. You can divide anyone up into these groups because I'm thinking of Chrissy Chambers, the like teenager whose dad's a hunter. She's the one that calls Dean old man.
Right,
and it's
right.
It's like you could put her in the virgin category, yeah. but it's like, but she's not. Like, she doesn't, she's not a one dimensional character.
Well, but that's the thing too, is they feel like in a lot of these discussions or like in the analysis of the mother virgin mm-hmm. or thing, is that mother and virgin gets like mixed a lot, like it's
yeah.
like there's like a cross pollination, pun mm-hmm. intended there.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's the thing though too. The first thing I thought of when you mentioned about how, like, you know, taking that triad and taking all the female characters and putting them in their respective places is, it's like, but yeah, then we're enforcing a box onto them that isn't a one-to-one thing at all. And the thing that made me want to bring up this triad is seeing a lot of discussion about exactly what you brought up, which is, and not even just with those two female characters that you mentioned, but just in general, female characters coming in and being sexualized and used as love interests. And I'm like, when you look at, actually look at the list of female, reoccurring female characters, there isn't. And then, and also talking about how, like, the only time that there isn't is because of age, sexuality, or circumstance. And it's like, well, circumstance is like a very big umbrella to say that that's like an unacceptable reason. Because friendship would be a circumstance, non-attraction would be a circumstance. So, like, but anyway, but when it comes to, like, sexuality and stuff, we didn't find out Charlie was gay until, like, into, like, that her character wasn't introduced like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? And before that, it's not like she was initially represented as a, you know, quote-unquote sexual interest for either Sam or Dean, and then all of a sudden that happened. It was like, no, she was more of a, I would argue that this would be the virgin category in terms of, like, a kid sister. Quote-unquote sexually unavailable. But even that, that's, like, again, that's forcing her into a box. And I would also say that, like, okay, the first thing that I thought of after you said, what were the two names that you said again? You were saying, shoot.
Chrissy.
Was that one of them? No, the two first female characters that were introduced as, like, love interests.
Joe and Bella.
Joe and Bella, right? Both for Dean, right? Yes, both for Dean.
Yeah, I feel like there was some Sam Bella stuff. I feel like she, honestly, I feel like she was introduced as, like, a sexual object for both of them.
Both of them, okay.
But, like,
so there's that.
Mostly Dean.
But then there's another female character that it was a very slow, long burn before they were interested as introduced as a love interest, and that was Ruby. And so it's like, and those happened along the same lines. Like, yeah, it was Ruby one, but still, like, it, like, there was a slow burn there. So it's not like I think that that's the problem with, like, the written and the perception, right? Is because I don't, ask me to think of examples right this second, but I know that there are concrete examples of just purely sexualized women being used as romantic interests for male characters, and that's it. Like, there's
like on TV shows?
Yeah, like, there's very obvious ones.
For some reason, the show that immediately came to my mind was Angel.
Okay.
Did you ever watch Angel?
Bits and pieces, but not enough to, like, know what you're talking
about. It's fun. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's like Buffy, but worse.
Right. Are you going to reference Cordelia? Is that who is?
Well, I'm going to reference literally every single female character I can think of.
So every single female character on that show was, like, solely for the male gaze, you would argue?
Basically. Like, not in a sexual object way, but just in terms of, like,
potential.
Like, everyone. So, like, I'm just going to really, really quickly, because this is not relevant, but it's, like, Cordelia eventually becomes Angel's love interest.
Right. I think I knew about that.
Yeah. Fred, who gets introduced later, becomes two of the main dude characters' love interest. Fred is a girl. And there's, like, an evil lawyer that has sex with Angel. There's, like, a hot cop who has sex with Angel. There's, I feel like there's, like, another, like, it's like, there's a sexy evil demon lady. Like, those are the only female characters, and I haven't watched the show in a long time.
Right. But that's, those are the, like, it's, like, right away, it's immediate, it's
those
obvious.
Are the ones I'm thinking of. Like, Buffy makes a cameo, she has sex with Angel. Faith makes a cameo, she has sex with Angel.
Of course.
And it's like, the show isn't even about Angel's sexual prowess.
Yeah.
Like, in it, it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
like, less than Dean.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, 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 yeah.
And that's a show where it's, like, a spinoff of a feminist TV show. Like, and you're like, cool, every single character is just like a prop.
But that's what I mean, is that there's like the show that I was thinking that you might have said, which kind of came to mind with me, which is really ironic, is Riverdale.
Oh yeah.
To a certain extent, you know, one's the virgin, one's the whore, at least in perception wise, you know, like between Veronica and Betty.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it is, it's all like overflow from the comics, the original IP, obviously. And they do try to work, like problematize that as much as they can. But, you know, like the archetypes are there, you know.
And everyone's paired up. That's the other
thing. But that's the thing. And that's kind of like, we can go into that's the nature of the teen dramedy and all of that kind of stuff.
Stranger Things.
Yeah, it's Stranger Things, even, oh God.
Oh no.
Pretty Little Liars, Vampire Diaries, like all of them. Like, it's all the same thing. Everyone's gotten with everyone. Mm-hmm. It's the Dawson's Creek effect, you know? So yeah, like, it's that thing of, like, actually, this is kind of perfect because we're circling back to something that we've brought up a lot, which is the fact that I think I'm just saying this, I think that the thing or the point of the show that gets missed so often in these discussions about female characters on Supernatural is the fact that the show is not about romantic relationships.
Yeah.
Like, at all. If anything, it's about how they can't work and won't work and never will work and slash or how just like you're better off investing in family that you create than, you know, partners or whatever. Like, it's like, I feel like it's the nature of the show to not just be, you know, I feel like we've moved so far away from the earlier seasons of where it's just like about, you know, Dean getting with every girl on the road and like all of that kind of stuff, right? Which actually, it makes sense too, because if a lot of this criticism is coming from people that don't even watch the show anymore, they're basing it on the assumption that it's stayed its course.
Yeah.
And of course, like, I don't want to hold on to that assertion that the majority of people making these criticisms are people that have abandoned ship. But, you know, it's just, it's one of those things that I don't know, it just feels like it, because it's like, are you watching the same show? Like, it feels like that sometimes.
And I mean, so there was a moment in, just to go a little off topic, there was a moment in a season little. 12, I know, right? In season 12, where it was the episode, The Memory Remains the Same. The Memory Remains?
Song Remains the Same?
No, it wasn't. It was in season 12. So it was the one where, like, there was, like, a weird goat monster in, like, a meat locker.
Yes!
Yeah. And at the beginning of the episode, Dean picks up a waitress in a diner with, like, a hot coffee.
First time and in forever!
But people were pissed about that.
But I thought it was so adorable! It was like, so perfect!
And also, it drives me crazy because people get into this thing where it's, like, people are, it's just this, like, really, really subtle underlying slut shaming where I'm just like, why is it bad to show, like, I get that she didn't have any lines and that wasn't like a character, but like, why is it bad that Dean had casual sex with like a I can't even like express it.
I know, exactly. And that's the thing, is that it's just like, I think it all boils down to that, okay, that's something that hasn't happened in a really long time. At least like it hasn't been depicted.
Yeah.
But you know what has also not been depicted in a really long time? All of the credit card fraud.
Oh yeah.
All of the you know, pool games.
Mm-hmm.
All of the hustling. That stuff's still happening. Yeah. Just so because they have the bunker doesn't mean that all of a sudden they won the fucking lottery.
Yeah. And it's like, that's the thing where we have to be like, okay, we don't see every single thing that happens in their lives. And we have to assume that Dean still gets laid. At least once in a while.
At least once in a while. Poor guy.
Probably a little bit less than he used to because he's 40 now, but.
I immediately thought you were going to be like, maybe a little less now because of Kat.
Oh, yeah. No. But this is the other thing. I feel like even with his beautiful gay love story, it's like he's still boning chicks on the side.
Yeah, there you go.
He's not self-aware enough to like be in a committed romantic relationship with another man, but.
Yeah.
B is
nice. Well, that's an opinion that's very,
I've gotten real off topic and I maybe said some things that I'm going to regret, but.
No, not regret. Just like, it's okay. We've been trolled now. We have been accused of not knowing Dean Winchester.
Mm-hmm. We've hit the big time.
It's all good. Mm-hmm. It's all good. Everyone's entitled to their fucking opinion. Anyway. Good transition coming up to characters that disrupt that whole triad thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you want to talk about Abaddon?
Sure. Yeah. So, I love Abaddon, but I love all of the characters.
But also too, like immediately I'm like, I love Alona Tal.
I know.
Like so much. Like as I was looking at that like one gift set where it's like the profile pics of all the female characters, and I was looking through because I was thinking like, oh, maybe like, I know we kind of did it before, but we should do like the favorite female character thing again. But I was looking through and I was just like, oh no she is. But then also too, I started over analyzing and I was just like, wait, is it just because I really love the actor?
Yeah.
Too, like, it's a problem. Anyway,
whatever.
So Abaddon.
I love Abaddon, and I love her because I feel like she takes to, like, the biggest extreme, the recurring theme. I'm a poet.
And you didn't even know it.
Of Sam and Dean, but specifically Dean, being subject to sexual violence. And this is a thing that we can go into another time, because we don't have time to discuss it now. No. But what it comes down to is, like, are you okay with sexualized violence being depicted / sexual violence being depicted? Because a lot of people aren't, and that's fine.
That's really fine.
I'm into it, but I don't think that depicting
And by into it, she means she's okay with it.
Yes.
Being depicted.
Wait, I'm into its depiction. I'm not into it as a thing.
I saved you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Speaking of saying things that you regret.
Oh, boy. Why I could never be famous. Okay.
Sorry.
But it's just like, to me, it's like the depiction of sexual violence is not always bad. I think that I'm pretty over, like, depictions of women being sexually assaulted because
it's like
everywhere.
Like, yeah, like,
and
it's...
It can be really traumatic. Like, that has been played out, and that gets used as a plot device for dumb reasons.
Yes.
I think it gets interesting in cases where men are the subject of sexual violence or sexualized violence. There's tons of great meta on Tumblr about this in depth. But what I will say is that, like, Abaddon is the most explicit in terms of, like, her, like, I'm going to get inside you and, like, make you do terrible things.
Right.
To Dean. But I also think, because it's like, she is super sexual.
Yes.
But she's not a whore.
Well, I would argue that because she's already a little bit rapey, as you suggested, it's more about power than sex.
Oh, 100%.
Right? So it's like, it's more about, yeah, it's more about that. And so she's not, it's almost like, she's occupying more so, like, she does fully break down that whole triad thing because she's occupying a traditionally male characteristic.
Yeah. It's like, you would never be like, oh, Abaddon, what a slut.
Yeah.
Like, because she's like, no, I'm going to hold you down and tie you up and, like, but not in, like, a sexy dominatrix way.
No.
In, like, a, oh, you're terrifying.
Yeah,
way.
Exactly. And this weirdly, sorry, I was going to say something about Rowena before I say that. This weirdly connects to a book that I'm reading right now. Mm-hmm. It's called Mindhunter, and it's written by Jack Douglas, who was part of the team at the FBI that started the behavioral analysis unit.
Oh.
Yeah. So basically, like, modern profiling was started by this guy. Mm-hmm. And in just the chapter that I was reading recently, it talks about how, like, you know, one of the things that came up first was this whole in terms of what the commonality in serial killers and rapists and everything is, this dominance and power and all of that stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? And how that plays such like an important role in both the like manifestation of like serial killers and like the perpetuation of them. Anyways, so it just made me think of that because it is really, it's all like anything violent is about power.
Yeah.
And so I would argue that when it comes to depicting sexual violence, let's even just talk about just two women, mm-hmm. and that segues into Rowena, is it's how it's done.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think we can safely say that I apologize if I'm leaving anything out, but any kind of sexual violence has been analogous in Supernatural. Like, it's been like analogy and metaphor based. I can't think of anything explicit, like, other than times where, like, oh, like when what's her face, not Patience, oh my god, Alex, when Alex was first kidnapped. Yes. And the creature or whatever that kidnapped her was getting really, like, touchy-feely.
Yes.
That stood out to me, though, at the time, because it was kind of, I don't remember anything before that so explicit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And again, I could be totally wrong. There might be other examples, but the fact that they're so far and few in between.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm not committing confirmation bias.
If you think of something, let us know. Like, I can't.
Yeah, because I
anything.
Yeah, I can't.
The biggest, my favorite side note. Okay. My favorite. Meg. I love Meg. Meg's another one of those ones where 100%. You're like, cool. When Meg in Sam's body,
right,
attacks Joe,
right,
and it's just like
this whole thing.
It confuses gender so much.
Yeah, totally.
And another side note, I feel like this, like, is an added layer, is how many characters on Supernatural are in gendered bodies, but themselves as beings
are not gendered.
Are agendered.
Exactly.
Because it's like, Abaddon fits into that category.
Yeah.
You know, so does Ruby. So does Meg. So does Anna. Like, all of these female characters.
Yeah, totally.
The fact that angels and demons exist is like...
Yeah.
They're, what is it? Celestial.
Multi-dimensional celestial wavelength of intent.
Yes. Yeah. Something like
that. It's my favorite line. I love that line so much.
But it's like, that's what
I'm a nerd.
So.
So what I was going to say is, like, transitioning to someone like Rowena,
mm-hmm.
where she also very much disrupts it in mm-hmm. the sense that technically she would be the crone.
Yeah. Well, she's also a mother.
She's also a mother. And she's also a whore.
Yeah.
Like, she's all of them.
Yeah.
She really is. She genuinely is.
Except for the virgin.
Well, yeah. But like, even that, so, like, she kind of occupies, like, in terms of, like, she's not sexually available to Sam and Dean.
Yeah.
Right? And it isn't until she gets with Gabriel that really...
I forgot about that.
Yes, it's the best. And it isn't really until that you get that, like, kind of full like triad mix or whatever, mm-hmm. and it's along the same trajectory that she really gets into the whole, you know, connecting with Sam over Lucifer,
yeah,
metaphorically raping them kind of thing, mm-hmm. right, you know, in terms of all that stuff, speaking of sex and death, but I would, if someone were to ask me, is Supernatural a sexist show or misogynistic, I would say no, .. more than any other show on TV.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be my compromise. It's not my instinct to make that compromise because mm-hmm. my answer would just be no.
Yeah.
But we also have to recognize that all media is, for the most part, especially when it comes to film, operates through the male gaze. and even when there's female directors, I'm sorry, it's the male gaze, and then also operates under patriarchy and those archetypes and those models. And so it's going to be a real long time before we're post that,
yeah,
whatever the hell that means, because we're in that moment of where we're just trying to, like, call out those things. And you can't label something that's trying to call out those things as not doing enough. Like, I hate that. I hate it's like, I don't think that Supernatural should get a gold star.
Yeah.
But I also don't think that it should get a failing grade.
I mean, I don't think anyone should get a gold star.
No, well, no, exactly. And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And like, so, like, that's why I'm not here being like, no, Supernatural is like a... shut up. Supernatural... living on a major street in Toronto is great, especially with an air conditioner. Anyway, like, I'm not gonna sit here and be like, Supernatural is a feminist show.
Yeah,
like, I'm not, mm-hmm, like, I'm not like, I'm not, you know, like, I'm sorry to people that believe that, like, sure, okay, I'd love to hear your argument, but I think that that's exactly what it would be. It's not a label. It's not a, yeah, label, like, say, labeling Buffy is.
Yeah.
You know? Even though that, too, is up for criticism, mm-hmm, or debate. But it's not the same. Like, it's not, you know, I feel like it would very much be something that needed to be debated.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Agreed.
Yeah. So, we're really sad, obviously, that Wayward Sisters didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's very easy to take that as, like, proof.
Yeah.
In some ways, right? Of just, like, oh, well, see, we finally could have had, like, a female-led Supernatural-based show and it didn't happen. And there's a lot of, like, politics that don't include gender politics that went into that. Like, a lot of failed models in terms of, like, television industry and television production. But at the same time, I feel like it is a little bit... of, like, a, what's the word? Like, a sad compromise, but to say, like, oh, well, at least the potential of it meant that they wouldn't kill off those characters yet. Mm-hmm. Like, we get another season, potential season of seeing those characters, and we have, yeah, gotten confirmation that we will. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Good.
Mm-hmm.
So. I'm going to bring this up for the first time. What if we did fan fiction next week?
Oh, okay.
Because I want to kill myself. No, I'm kidding. Because I want to hurt myself with fan fiction. Yeah, so.
Okay, on that note.
Next week.
I have a ton of recommendations for Kira. Do you guys have it?
Exactly. That's what I was going to. Or even thoughts about fanfiction, mm-hmm, in general, the nature of fanfiction, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, as a listener, are you a fanfiction reader? Are you not? Like, all that kind of stuff. And any information or statistics you can provide us would be very helpful. So we have that to look forward to.
Woohoo!
I'm honestly already instantly regretting mentioning it. But it's, I know,
yeah, you
fine.
Committed to it on the air.
And that's why I did it. Because I know otherwise we would never get to it. Not like it's going to be the only episode we talk about, mm-hmm, fanfiction, but this in particular, we are going to get a novice and an expert analysis.
I love the fact that that's, like, one of the few things where I'm like, hell yeah, I'm an expert. It's like most things, I'm like, no. I'm in, like, it's like, yeah, imposter, yeah, yeah, syndrome. I have, yes, zero imposter syndrome, no, about fanfic. I'm,
as,
like,
you should.
Yes. Fanfic for life.
Thanks for listening. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play. You can also find us on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram @ifiepodcast. That's IFIE podcast. See you next week.